there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
So, I was, you know, like my very first reaction, Octavia, when I first saw the first trailer for the film, is that I thought it was kind of going in a vaguely lightweight direction, which is to say romantic relationships, good vibes, interesting music, culture, but it didn't seem to have... the initial trailer I'm talking about, it didn't seem
right.
It didn't seem to have this, you know, that kind of
gravitas.
Yeah, the gravitas and the smarts and the science and all that. And then everything changed when I went to Toronto and I saw that reel that everybody showed. And then I said, "Oh, now I get it. Now I get it." But they scared me at first. You know, it was the marketing people or something. But you know, I just
yes. And you know why? That I get why they, because you want to appeal to the masses.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they know, some people, if they know they're going to get a message, turns them off. So if they know that they're going to get entertained, it's the best way to get them in there.
Right.
And then you...
layer it in.
Yes. Yeah. So I understand that assessment.
Yeah.
I do.
You know, I'm all of a sudden, I'm forgetting, and please forgive me, but Dorothy Vaughan, the character you play in Hidden Figures, passed in 08, but did you do any like research in terms of talking to anybody who knew her, or how did you work?
Yes, yes. The wonderful thing was, because from the moment that I knew that I was actually going to be doing the part, I had 3 weeks, which is not a lot of time to, you know, when you think of what process people have. And for me, I like to do research. If it's a real person, you research the time period, which thank God I've done a lot of movies in the 60s, so I had a little bit of a jump there, but I knew nothing about her. And at that time, when you Google, you know, you get obituaries and little things that say, see NASA archives. So I got real nervous that there was going to be, as I thought, very little information about her. And rather than talk to the family, I wanted to know more about her from the work side, because I felt like the little information that I could garner off of the internet, I felt like I knew who she was as a family woman, but I didn't know who she was as a woman within her her field. And Margot Lee Shetterly's father worked with all of those women, so we had access to him. We had access to all of her notes that she took, because she interviewed a lot of people, and then she also provided us with a lot of information from her encounters with NASA doing the research on these women. So I at first it was a panic, because it felt like there was little to no material. But then when I realized that we had these resources and people that actually worked with her, it made it a lot easier.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at a photo, by the way, Octavia, of you and Kevin Entourage at the White House last month. It's quite a moment. I love that expression you're making.
The truth of the matter is, because, you know, people always say, "Oh, she's meeting the president." You know, the truth in journalism is, you know, I'm like, people, you gotta just not write stuff that's not true. I'd already met Barack and Michelle, but what happened is, we were told, we knew we were going to have a lot of time with the First Lady, because she was screening it for, you know, like, I think it was about 400 students and girls, and it was. We knew that we would have a lot of time with her, but no time with the president, because, you know, he was making the transition out of office. And so my sadness was like, I don't think I'll get to see him before he leaves office.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that the Obamas are really close to Janelle. So I was hoping, against hope, that they would come and at least, you know, or that he would pop by and say hello. And when he did, I was so freaked out, because, you you know, the funny thing is the president, his back was, the president was standing behind me with Kevin, and in front of me, the first lady was with Janelle. Mm-hmm. So I, nobody could see me but Janelle, and I was like, oh my God, did you know, but I said something else, like, oh my effing God, did you know what's coming? And that was the moment that the White House photographer caught, and I did not realize that, you know, he was snapping photos at that time. But it was a moment of sheer joy, and just my heart was breaking because, you know, I feel like he's been a very effective president, especially with such an obstructionist Congress, you know, not working together with him. So I just
had great reputation, as we know, all starting when he started to get more assertive about health care. He's going to go down in history as one of the really great presidents. He really is.
The ones that are against him now will be saying different things when they match up the next 4 years,
right.
Anyway.
Right.
Because, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. And all of these young people who do not realize what they unleashed on the world, you know, by not understanding what their choices meant.
Right.
They're going to know now, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing, by the way, the last time we were talking at that gathering at UTA, you were talking about how you guys had just managed to nudge out the Star Wars film for number one. And now, as we speak, right now, Hidden Figures cost $25 million to make, and it's pulled in $107 million, and it's obviously going to keep going because there's a surge, right? So.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Tell you, I'm more than grateful that it's reaching audiences and the young people that need to know their history, because in order to impact the future, you really need to know your history.
Yeah.
And the fact that we didn't know these stories, I think it marred a generation of young women that would have been in the STEM program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had they had the role models. Sometimes you need the role models to see what you can achieve and accomplish.
Mm.
So I am over the moon that a story about real-life women who helped us get to space actually is generating this kind of box office. Because hopefully they'll make more smart movies.
Yeah.
You know, about real-life people.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, you know, I got to ask you, I got to just divert off just for a second. Can you give me a little background of how it's been? I mean, there's been some pushback against The Shack, which I have not seen, but you play you play God in it. And let me just say, when I pass on and if I meet Octavia Spencer and she gives me a hug, I'll feel great.
Well, yeah. I actually have shielded myself because in this very Trumpian society that we're existing in now, people think it's okay to allow the ridiculousness that has been, you know, in the surface of their minds to actually come out.
Mm.
I've shielded myself from that type of ignorance, because if they didn't read the book and didn't know that God was presented as a black woman because she was the only woman who showed this young man kindness.
Mm.
And she there's a whole dialogue between when God explains why she is revealing herself that way, because she felt like this young man had been hurt by so many men.
Yeah.
That it would be more palatable for him to receive him or God that way. And so for the people who are upset that God is being portrayed by a black woman, they either need to read the book or just inquire as to why.
Sure.
No one is trying to change the conventional images of God. No one is trying to change the conventional ideas of the Holy Trinity. We know the Holy Trinity in the book. The Holy Spirit is called Sarayu, and it's an Asian woman. So we know from convention that this is not the way it is, but it's also an alternative way of thinking and a way of being diverse in how we see God and how he how the world is comprised of different people, you know. And I applaud the filmmaker and the book, the author, because he wrote this way. And the filmmakers are only following the book. But I've kind of shielded myself from the crazies, because I know that they're going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. I suspect it's the same Rhodes Scholar group that didn't like The Last Temptation of Christ, which by my measure is one of the most beautiful spiritual films ever, just because it supposed what if Jesus was suddenly relieved of his burdens and could just be a regular man. And
a regular man. So it's just a different way of thinking and a different way of presenting God as every man, you know. It's here's the other thing for those people who are upset that a black woman is playing God. Well, a Native American also portrays God in the male form, so they better get ready. The conventions are turned on their ear, and hopefully, if they're smart enough, they'll hear the message and not be caught up on the optics of things.
And the check comes out, as we know, through Summit in early March, so hopefully they'll start screening it soon. I can't wait to see it.
I'm excited and nervous because, you know, it's a very didactic film, and it does not back off from that, those conventions. And, you know, it depends on what you believe, and, you know, there's a lot to consume, let's just say that.
Now, I'm a friend of Guillermo's. I've been out to Bleak House out in the Thousand Oaks. Person who worked with him on The Shape of Water, did you happen to have a chance to visit or see?
I have not, but I've been invited, and there's a project that I'm trying to get him to do with me, a horror project, and he's one of the most fascinating people I've ever met, because he knows, he's just very well versed on just about everything. You could ask him about rocks and he'll tell you the history of geology. He's one of those people that is always, you know, just the most mundane but interesting bit of information that he will give you about anything. And he is like a father figure.
Yeah.
He just welcomes you with open arms. And so he's invited me to go to Bleak House. And let me tell you, the minute I'm done, because I have three movies opening in the first quarter of the year, I'm going, because I love Guillermo.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. And those wonderful big eyes of his, and that amazing fertile mind and charity and goodness. He's one of the best people I've ever known in my life. I'm just really
me
honored.
Too. And I got to tell you, honey, there are very few people that I say this to. James Ponsoldt is one. Mark Webb is the other. And you have such a beautiful command of the English language. I love to read what you write. It's always very intelligent, but not in that persnickety, I'm smarter than you way. I just love the way you write.
Oh, thanks, Octavia. It's very
I'm a huge fan.
When you say the three, let's just make sure everybody understands. Hidden Figures, are you including that in the first part? Because that's already technically open. So that's, you mean The Shack, Gifted, and Shape of Water, right?
No, The Shack, Gifted, and Hidden Figures. Well, Hidden Figures open, The Shack will open, and then Gifted will open.
Right. Shape of Water is not till the fall or end of the year or something.
Right.
Can you just tell me briefly who you play? Shape of Water is a period piece, early 60s, correct? Can you just give me a rundown of just who you are really quickly?
What your character is? I play Zelda. She's a best friend to Sally Hawkins' character, Eliza.
Okay.
Eliza, sorry.